So we're on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, three lines down from the top, and we're going back to the Mishnah, which is the opening Mishnah. There are two Mishnahs actually which deal with the same issue of Maaser Sheni. One is the opening Mishnah, which the Gemara is about to quote. But first, let's mention our Mishnah, which is here on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and the Mishnah says that Kodshei Kodshim, which is not relevant to us tonight, but that you get malchus if you eat them chutz l'kloim. But we're interested in the other part of the Mishnah that says kachim kalim, as well as maaser sheni, if you eat them chutz l'kloim, which means outside the chom of Yerushalayim, then you get malchus, because the Torah says al suchal lechol bisharecha. And the Gemara is bothered by this because the first Mishnah in the Perek, back on Daf Yud Gimel, seems to be a duplicate. And that's what the Gemara says. Tnina Chalazimna. We already have this at the beginning of the Perek, where it says that a person who eats Maaser Sheni Vehegde Shalom Niftu, Loke. Now, what does it mean, Shalom Niftu? There was no pigeon. That can only be outside of Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim there's no need for pigeon. On the contrary, not only are you allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, you are obligated to eat the Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. So by definition, Maaser Sheni and Shalom Niftu has to be referring to Chutz Yerushalayim. So basically we have a repetition here in the Mishnah. Twice the Mishnah tells us that Maaser Sheni out of Yerushalayim engenders a Chiv Malkus if one eats the Maaser. Now keep in mind that we have two issues here. We have Maaser Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim, and that's an issue of an Isra Achila. And then we're going to have Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which requires Pidgeon. Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which requires Achila. And once the Maaser enters into Yerushalayim, now the Mitzvah Achila sets in. There's no longer a possibility of Pidgeon. And we're going to have to address the issue, what happens to the Maaser Sheni went into Yerushalayim and then it went out of Yerushalayim again?
Can you do pigeon?
Right, can you do pigeon now outside of Yerushalayim? Or do we say that once it entered into Yerushalayim, it's already impossible to do pigeon, because at that point the Mitzvah Achila clamps down on the Maaser Sheni? So that's just by way of introduction. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina wants to reconcile the need for these two Mishnayos. Seifa, the last Mishnah, is b'maaser sheni tahar v'gavra tahar. So there's no problem whatsoever with tuma here, neither with the maaser sheni itself. The maaser sheni itself was not contaminated, nor with the person who's eating the maaser sheni. D'ka'achil chutz l'choma. And this is the classical isur, which is codified here at the beginning, in the previous Mishnah, meaning in our Mishnah, of eating Maaser Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim, which is Lotzucha Lechol Bisharecha. What then is the subject of the Reisha? It's going to be Tuma. Fine. Reisha, B'Maaser Sheni Tame, V'Gavra Tame. Tosus points out that the Vav here is not a Vav HaMachaber, but a Vav HaMachalik. Meaning, it's either A, where the Gavra is Tomei, or B, where the Maaser Sheni is Tomei. Either way, you incur a Chiyuv Malkus v'ka'achalei b'Yerushalayim. Tosa says it means afilu b'Yerushalayim, even though you're eating the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, but since you're eating bituma, meaning your Tomei, or alternatively, your Tar, but the Maaser Sheni itself is Tomei, there's a separate lav and a Chiyuv Malkus in both cases. And the Gemara now is going to try to figure out how we know such a lot. How do we know? Now, if he's Tomei, and he eats Maaser Sheni that's Tahar, that's one case, and then the other case is going to be where the Maaser Sheni itself is Tomei. Oh. What's the source for the Chiyuv Malkus if you eat Maaser Sheni Betuma? And again, we're going to have to break it down to the two cases. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now there's a parasha in the Torah, again in Kisavo, in the same place, which is called Vidui Maaser Sheni. That's the parasha of Vidui Maaser Sheni. And in that parasha, you make a declaration that you observed all the laws of Maaser Sheni, and you did not violate any of those laws. And this process, this mitzvah of Vidui Maaser, takes place on the fourth year and the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, and that's called Biur Maisros. A person makes this declaration. It's called Vidui in the Mishnah in Sota, even though Lechor it's a strange kind of Vidui. He's really saying that he did everything the way he should, but amongst the things that he declares, when he says Lo Avarti Mitzosecha, he says Lo Biarti Mimenu B'tomei. What does that mean? Lo Biarti Mimenu B'tomei. I did not eat the Maaser in a state of Tumah. And the Gemara is going to interpret that B'tomei means, in a general sense, whether it's he's Tomei or the Maaser Sheni is Tomei. It's all inclusive. Bein Shani Tomei, the Hutar, the Maaser itself is Tar.
What does Lo Biarti mean in this context?
Lo Biarti means Lo Achalti.
It's a strange verb to use.
Right. Right. Why does he use the word So you see, Max, do you have that footnote number 6 on the bottom there? Vav on the bottom right?
Yeah. Okay.
So he spends a lot of time on this word, biarti. He quotes Rashi in Masechet Yevamos that he's being misvada, that he didn't actually burn the Maaser. Vizeu b'tomei. V'kolshkein b'tor. So the Torah adds biarti in order to indicate that he didn't take something that was edible and destroy it, but at the same time he didn't eat something that was tamei. He says yesh lomo cha'asuhu ba'achila b'tuma shalkein misvada sh'af b'shas ha'tuma shein roil achila. He didn't violate the isur tuma. However, the Ritva gives a different shot. Biarti is miloshem kilui. Kili means to consume it. Hakol kol anos, any kind of benefits that he gets from it. Hainu biyosei tomei, when he was tomei, lo nena mimenu lo b'achila lo b'shtia v'lo b'sicha. So had the Torah used the word achalti, lo achalti meni b'tomei, says the Ritva, we would not have derived the iser of sicha. So the general term biarti includes even sicha. Whereas Rashi says the word biarti literally means to destroy, to consume, and he's making a declaration that he did not misuse, or shall we say abuse, the Maaser Sheni, but rather fulfilled all the mitzvahs. Fine. So from this pasuk, lo biarti meni tomei, we derive the conclusion that a person is not allowed to eat Maaser when he's tomei, and that means either he's tomei or the Maaser itself is tomei. Now, this is a strange kind of thing. When a person recites Vidui, obviously he's claiming he didn't violate the Iser, but where is the Iser? In other words, if you want to give Malchus for something, you need an Azhar in the Torah. In fact, the Gemara of Vehechan Muzar. And the Ritva points out here that Vehechan Muzar means we know an Iser Asay, you know, from the fact that there's a mitzvah of not being Mavir. That means it's an Iser Aseh, but it doesn't say it in the Lashon of a Los Aseh. We need a Los Aseh. So the Gemara asks, Vehechan Muzar al Hachila, meaning in the case of Tumah, where do I find an Azara? Eini Odeh, I still don't know an Iser Azara. And as we said before, the best I can do is derive an Iser Aseh. But it's not a lav. And if it's not a lav, how do we know that it incurs Malchus? So this is the second part of the Braisa. And the Braisa says the following. How do we know that to derive an Iser Lav as far as Tumah is concerned? And the Gemara says the following. Tumas haguf behejik siv. Meaning, I don't have a problem in the case where he's Tomei. Because the Torah says in Parshas Shmini, back in Sefer Vayikra, Anogeya b'chol tomei nefesh, O isha sheteitzi men shifazora, O isha sheyiga b'chol sheretz, asher yitmol lo, O b'yodam asher yitmol chol tumoso, nefesh asher tiga bo V'tomada erev lo yochal min hakadoshim. And this pasuk itself is the source for an iser lav, an azhara for a tomei nati kodshim, and the premise of the Gemara is that ma'aser sheni is included under kodshim. So when we ask the question minayin, when we look for a source for the iser tuma, we're not looking for the source for the case where he's tomei, because the Torah is very outspoken about that, that if he's tomei, he's not letting kodshim, but rather for the case where the ma'aser sheni itself is tomei. That's what the Gemara says now. Ela tumas atzmo minayin. How do we know that if the ma'aser itself is tomei, even though the ochel is tar, that the Torah warns us in a lav such that he'll get malchus if he eats it when the ma'aser is tomei? And now again, the Braisa continues. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, and this is again in the parasha of Ma'aser Sheni in Re'eh, it says, Lo suchal lechol bisharecha. And then the pasuk goes on and says, Ma'asar digoncha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha. And this is the famous pasuk that we've been discussing all along. The Iser Lav of eating Ma'aser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. But it doesn't say anything about eating Ma'aser Bituma. But emphasize the word bisharecha, because that's going to give us a kind of a gzera shava. Because elsewhere, the Torah speaks about bisharecha. And where is that? This is the case of bechor. Now, a bechor is usually brought on the mizbeach. But like all kodshim, if a mum falls in the bechor, then it cannot be brought on the mizbeach. However, a bechor bal mum still has what I call a vestige of kedusha to it. It's not complete chulin. It's also the giza of avoda. And now the question is, would it be awesome to eat it bituma? And the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, no, there's no iser tuma. Where does it say it? Bisharecha tochlena hatomei vahatar yachtov. So that a person whose tomei is allowed to eat a bechor, because the bechor is a bal mum. And now the Torah is combining bisharecha, bisharecha, the case of Ma'aser Sheni with the case of Bechor. Visanya, we learned in a Braisa, Debei Rabbi Yishmael, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, what do we derive from the Pasuk? Hatomei v'atar yachtov, afilu tomei v'tar ochlim b'ka'ara achas. That a tomei and a tar can eat from the meat of the Bechor in one kara, in one bowl, in one plate, v'ein choshishin, and there's no iser. Why? Because a bechor balmum, even though it's also begizav avoda, nevertheless, there's no iser tumah. And what that means is that if he himself is tamei, he's allowed to eat this bechor from the meat of the bechor, even though, again, as we said before, a bechor bal mum still has certain dinim of kedusha to it. But as far as tumah is concerned, the Torah alleviated the iser tumah. And uka amar achmana, the Torah says, again, let's go back to our original pasuk in Ma'aser Sheni, lo sucha lechol bisharecha ma'aser digoncha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. And what the Torah is saying is, heich tomei disharei lecha gabitar hasam, but hacha lo seichol. The Torah is comparing the two, and the Torah is singling out the case of bechor and saying, heich means this one, is tomei shari lecha. The Torah was matir to be that it could be eaten bituma legavitar, but hasam, that's only hasam. That's only in the case of a bechor. But hacha lo seichul. But here, in the case of Ma'aser Sheni, if there's tumah, which means either tumas haguf where he's tomei, or tumas atzmo where the Ma'aser Sheni is tomei, then you're not allowed to eat the meat, the peros, the fruits of the Ma'aser Sheni. So basically, this is a funny kind of yalfusi here, where the Torah is combining two different parshios in order to make a contrast between the two, and telling you that the bisharecha of Bechar Balmum, which allows you Tochlenu Tome, is Bisharecha in the case of Maiser Sheni, is Lo Tuchalechol Bisharecha. So the same word Bisharecha tells you that what I'm going to permit in the case of Bisharecha of Tochlenu Hatome Vatar is in the case of Los of Maiser Sheni, Lo Suchal Lechol Bisharecha. Okay, fine. So now let's go over this. At the beginning of the perek, we're talking about Maiser Sheni Chutz LYerushalayim. Our mission is coming to add the case of Maiser Sheni Betumah, even if it was in Yerushalayim. So that the first mission, when it says Maiser Sheni Shlo Niftu, it means he was eating it without pigeon out of Yerushalayim, but he was tar. Here in the second Mishnah, we're talking about a case of Maiser Sheni Betumah. And now the Gemara says Minolan. How do we know that Maiser Sheni, which is Tomei, Bar Pidiyahu? Keep in mind, the Mishnah says Maiser Sheni Shalom Nifta, implying that in this very case, he could be Poda the Maiser Sheni. Now, we're talking about eating Betumah in Yerushalayim. And yet, the Torah, the Mishnah is telling us that since there was no pigeon, therefore you violated Isur Lav by eating it Betumah, implying that had you been poda it, that would alleviate the Isur Tumah. It means that Maiser Sheni, even in Yerushalayim, lends itself to pigeon because it's Tomei. And that's a pretty revolutionary halacha minayin. How do we know this? The Bar Padiyah, that Maiser Sheni, once it becomes Tomei, it lends itself to Padiyah even in Yerushalayim itself. So Arbosa, if you'd ever get a quiz question on, you know, testing your knowledge, you know, with some strange halachas, and they'll ask you, when can you be Poda Maiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which sounds like an antithetical concept, the answer is, if the Maiser Sheni becomes Tomei, then it lends itself to Tumah. The Gemara wants to know, what's the source for that? Tiyomar Abelazar, Minay Lamaiser Sheni, Shenitma, Shepodin Oso, Afilu B'Yushalayim. How do we know that you can be Poda Maiser Sheni, Shenitma, and Yushalayim? Talmud Lomar, Kilo Suchal Se'eso. The Torah says in Parashas Re'eh, in the Parashas Maiser Sheni, which is Mechadish Pidyon, that Lo Suchal Se'eso, which literally translates, you cannot carry it. You know, Maiser is a large, voluminous amount of fruits and grains. You cannot possibly bring it to Shalayim. And then the Torah says, Ki Yirchak Mimcha Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha Losim Shmo Sham V'Nasat Bakesef. This is the opening line to the heter of Pidyon Maiser Sheni. It says, Kilo Suchal Se'eso. Now, what does the word Se'es mean? We said it means a package. So the Gemara says, Ein Se'es Ela Achila. I'm going to prove to you from a different pasuk that the word Se'es means Achila. Kilo Suchal Se'eso therefore means because you cannot eat it, which presumably means because it's Tomei. How do we know the word Se'es means Achila? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk in Bereishis, Vayisa Masaos Me'es Ponov. If I'm not mistaken, this is in the encounter between the Shluchei Yaakov and Esav, and he sends him the gifts. In any event, it says Vayisa Masaos, and the word Vayisa Masaos means Dvar Achila. And therefore, we take the word Lo Suchal Se'eso to mean that he cannot eat it. And if he cannot eat it, he can be poda it. So what's the case? The case is that it became Tomei, and therefore he's enjoined from eating it. And even though it's in Yerushalayim, he can be poda it. Okay, this ends like round one of what we want to talk about tonight. And now we find another possibility of a question, and that is how close or how far from Yerushalayim are you in order to permit Pidiyah? Meaning, at what point do we say you've crossed the line you've entered Yerushalayim, or you're about to enter into Yerushalayim, and therefore you can no longer be poda the Maaser Sheni. Again, we're talking about Maaser Sheni that's tahar. Omarav Bibi, Omarav Asi, Minayin la Maaser Sheni tahar. Shepodin also afilu bipsia achas chutz lechoma. You're one step away from the walls that surround Yerushalayim. You haven't entered into Yerushalayim. Later on, we're going to have a case where you have one foot in and one foot out, or you're carrying the Maaser went in, but you're out, or you're in and the Maaser is out. But right now, both you and the Maaser are outside of the Choma, but you're just one step away. Now, the Pasuk says, if you remember, Ki Yirchak Mimcha Amakom. And perhaps the Gemara is raising the possibility that Ki Yirchak means you're far away from Yerushalayim. Then the Torah allows you to be poder in order to facilitate the Kiyum Mitzvah Achil of Yerushalayim. But if you're at the threshold of Yerushalayim, why is the Torah going to allow you to be poder? Shenemar, no. If you haven't entered into Yerushalayim, you're allowed to be poder, no matter how close you are. Kilo suchal seeso, and then it says v'nasata bekesef. How you doing? So what does it mean? Kilo suchal seeso. There's no heter of pigeon. I mean, the heter of pigeon is not dependent upon how far you are from Yerushalayim, but rather lo suchal seeso. In other words, as long as you need to carry it, even though you only have to carry it a small distance, you're almost at the threshold of Yerushalayim, the Torah says, "Menasata b'kesef," you could be poded. So it's not the way the Havamina had it, that the Torah allows you to be poded, because the Torah wants to help you out here in order to get you into Yerushalayim to eat the fruits. No, that's not what it's about. The Torah allows you to be poded because this is a kind of hegdesh that lends itself to pedia. The only thing is that it only lends itself to pedia because in this state you're not allowed to eat it. Once the Torah gives you the heter achila, means the fruits entered into Yerushalayim and now you're obligated to eat it, then the halacha pidyon is completely removed. But that's only when you crossed into and beyond the chomas Yerushalayim and you're allowed and you're commanded to eat the Maaser Sheni. At that point, the Torah says, no pigeon. But as long as you are one psia outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore you have no possibility of being mekayim in the midst of Achila, there is pigeon. So again, it's an inverse relationship. When you're not allowed to eat it, you can be podet. When you're allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to be podet. You're allowed to eat it all the way up to, and even including the psia achas, Code of Yerushalayim. If you're allowed to eat it, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to eat it because it's outside Yerushalayim. If you're not allowed to eat it, then you're allowed to be poded. Once you cross the boundary into Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat it, you're mitzvah to eat it, and you are not allowed to be poded. So you're allowed to be poded up until the entry into Yerushalayim. The Gemara is a little bit upset here because take a look at the previous drasha that we just had in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. From the very same pasuk of Lo Suchal Se'eso, he derived the conclusion that Maaser Sheni Shenitma lends itself to pidyon even in Yerushalayim, because the word Se'es means Achila. Now, in the drasha of Rabbi, in the name of Rav Asi, the same three words, Lo Suchal Se'eso, are telling me that you're carrying it, and in this case, you still have to carry it beyond the Psiach HaSchutz L'choma into Yerushalayim, and therefore you have possibility of pidyon. So what is this pasuk teaching me? Is it teaching me that you have pidyon even though it's Tomei and even though it's in Yerushalayim? Or is this pasuk teaching me that you can be poded even though it's on the threshold of the Chomas Yerushalayim? So that's what the Gemara asks now. Hi, mi boile l'chidr Rabbi Eliezer. How can you use Lo Suchal L'seiso to teach you that we can extend the pidyon all the way up to Chomas Yerushalayim, when we just derived from Lo Suchal Seiso that you'll be poded even after it's Tomei? So now what the Gemara is going to do for the next few lines, it's going to try to offer different words that the Torah could have used, and the fact that the Torah didn't use those words will allow me to derive two different conclusions from the same pasuk. So first the Gemara says, in Cain, if this if this pasuk is just for Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that you could be metal, you could be poder ma'aser sheni betuma lema kra, the Torah didn't have to say lo suchal se'eso, but rather lo suchal li ochlo, meaning that the tuma blocks the ability of eating the ma'aser sheni. Ma'aser eso. Why did the Torah choose to switch the word from li ochlo to se'eso and deliberately use the word se'eso? The answer is, it's coming to tell me that even if a person is not far away from Yerushalayim, but rather he's one step out of Yerushalayim, he still needs to carry. So the word se'eso means achilu, but at the same time it means to carry. Because insofar as se'eso means achilu, the Torah could have used the word achilu. Why did the Torah use the word, why did the Torah express or formulate the achilu in terms of se'eso? To teach you also that if you have to carry it in order to allow yourself to eat it, then you're allowed to be poded, even though you're so close to Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara turns around the other way. The Ema Kulo Lahachi Hudiyaso. Let's go Pumfaket and say that Lo Sukhal Se'eso is only coming to teach me that despite the fact that you're so close to Yerushalayim, you still have the availability of Pidyon. And it's not saying a word about Ma'aser Sheni Betuma allowing you to be poded. So Gemara says, in Cain, if all you're trying to teach me is that I still have a distance to go, as small as it is, Lema Kra, instead of Lo Suchal Se'eso, it should have said Lo Suchal Litlo. You cannot carry it. Ma'ai Se'eso? And the answer is that the choice of the word Se'eso is because, as we saw before from Bereishis, the word Se'eso means Achila. And the Gemara's final conclusion is Shema Mina Tarte. So this is one of the rare cases where you can derive two things from the same pasuk. Daniel, can I trouble you for some water? Just, I don't know, I think I gave you two cups there, I'm sorry. Again, I want to take this opportunity to thank the Ravens for hosting the shiur.
I want to thank you for coming all evening.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the hope is that this is also a mitzvah biker cholim here, even though I don't know. You know, the halach of a chola, it says in the post kishkayach, is someone who has to be, is no filimishkov. So usually that means chalishus kol gufo, you know, his whole body is weak, you know, he's off our fever and so on. But in your case, I think we can take it literally, that you're no filimishkov. Okay, let's go on. Yosiv, Rav Chanina, Rav Hoshaya, Vekomi Boile. There was a yeshiva here, and Rav Chanina and Rav Hoshaya were wondering, they were clearing, as we say. Okay, if you're a psia outside of Yerushalayim, then clearly you can still be podit. But what happens with Pischa Shel Yerushalayim? Pischa Shel Yerushalayim means the very threshold of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara says that there are two different scenarios that are included in the Gemara's Safek, and one of them we could be Poshet, and the other one is more complex. Which one is Pshita? Hu Bachutz, if he's outside of Yerushalayim, Umaso, he's carrying the fruits on his, let's say, shoulders, bifnim. I shouldn't say on their shoulders, because that's going to be hard to imagine, but let's speak about a knapsack, for example. Right? You have cases like this in Masechta Shabbos also. So let's say he has some sort of a knapsack or whatever, and the fruits are inside the Chomus Yerushalayim, but he himself is standing outside the Chomus Yerushalayim. Okay, a knapsack is a little strange because it's usually in the back. But let's say he has it in the front. So the Gemara says,
yeah, there's some sort of pole in the shoulder.
Yeah, the pole is going to come up later.
There's pictures of the Meraglim.
Right, right. I'm going to avoid the pole because that's going to come up in just a minute.
Kaltuma.
But the Gemara says, Pshita, in that case, Kaltuhu Mechitos. It means the fruits themselves are in Yerushalayim, and the Kedushas HaPeros of Yerushalayim, of Knisa Yerushalayim, is clinched I don't care if he's outside Yerushalayim. And therefore, what halacha now applies? If there's already klitas mechitzos, A, there's a mitzvah achila, and again, the reverse, as we said over and over again, is that there's no possibility of pidgin.
Wasn't the pasuk ki yechak gan on the gavra?
So let's hold off for your question just for 1 minute, because I think it's going to come up now. So what is the safek? Hu bifnim. Let's say he's inside. Umaso bachutz. The peros are clearly not in Yerushalayim, so the klitas mechitzos is not on the peros, but nevertheless he's in Yerushalayim. Why does Gemara think that that might lend itself to equate it with the peros entering into Yerushalayim, and it's like the mice in Yerushalayim, which means he has no possibility of pidgin? Exactly. And that's what Daniel was saying, that's what you're saying, Max. And the Gemara quotes a Zaken who made this comment. And where did it happen? The Gemara says it happened in the bay of Shimba Yochai, in the base medrash of Rav Shimba Yochai. And he quotes the pasuk, Ki yirchak mimcha hamakom. And mimcha seems to put the emphasis on the person.
But let's just catch in the first case.
Let's just read one more word. And the next word in the Gemara is going to be a little bit challenging. The Gemara says that mimcha means mi lu echa. Mi lu echa, Rashi says, means maso shel adam. That which you carry is called milui. So we thought that the word mimcha means the person, and yet the Gemara dashes it for that it refers to the masa, to the package that you're carrying. And therefore, the Gemara seems to be saying in the name of the Zaken that if he's inside Yerushalayim, but the Masa is Bachutz, then what? He can be Podur, he cannot be Podur. Here's a case where he's inside, the Masa is Bachutz. It says, Ki yirchak mimcha, mimi luecha. So what does that mean? So let's take a look at Tosis. Dibra Masel Hu Bifnim Maso Bachutz Mimi Luecha. So if you fast forward to the end of this Tosis, he says Mimiluecha Megalalanu Daguf Vahamasui. I don't know, I have Bichad. Do you have Bichad? Yeah, I think it should say Kichad, but okay. Vahavile Mixas Hamasui Bifnim. So Tosis is saying that the first case, which Gemara says that if the Masoi is Bifnim, then clearly without a doubt it no longer lends itself to Pedia. The Gemara is now equating the case where he's inside with that case where the Masa, where the Peros are inside, and the Gemara is saying that he and the Masa become, the way I understand this Tosis, one entity. And if he's bifnim, then the masa is called bifnim, and that's called mi luecha.
Does this relate to the famous regular concept of tree branch going after the maypole of the tree?
Right, the sugya that we had in the first paragraph, about shadi, the second paragraph, and shadi nofo basa ikro, and not
so the shamas.
I'm not sure, but I just wanted to. You know, this is something that when I was preparing this shiur, I was very confused. I understand conceptually what Tosis is saying. I just don't know how to fit it into the Gemara. What does it mean, mi milu echa? Literally, milu means a filling. I don't know what English word I could use here, but I think what Tosis is saying is that the masa that you're carrying is like it's an appendage to you. That's what I think he's learning. In the bottom here, he has a footnote, Hareu kibigdov, kibigodov. It's like his bigodim ukamohu. So somehow the fact that the person is carrying this masui, the masui is connected to him. It's like tofel to the person himself. And since he's inside, It's as if the masui is inside. So the bottom line here is that the answers to both questions of Rav Chanina is one and the same. That we're going l'chumra in both cases. Number one, if he's outside but the masui is bifnim, it's considered kol tu mechitzos. And number two, even if he's inside and the masui is outside, insofar as he's carrying the masui, it's called miluecha. It has a din as if it's inside in this klipas mechitzos, no possibility of pidyon. Boy Rav Papa. Now here's the case, Daniel, that you mentioned before. Nakat le bekanya. A person is inside the chomos of Yushalayim, and like Huckleberry Finn, or well, maybe it was Tom Sawyer, whoever it was, I always get confused between the two of them. He's holding on to a bag of fruits on his shoulders that are carried with a kanya. Kanya means some sort of a pole. A kana aruch. And the Gemara says, my. What's the halacha in this case? So if it's miluecha, which I understand to mean that it's somehow attached to his body or sitting on his body, whether it's on his back or his chest, like a knapsack or something along that line, that's called miluecha. But when it's at the bottom of a pole, being held up by a pole, is that considered miluecha? Or do we say no? It's as if it's on the ground, wherever it is in the airspace of that ground. And the Gemara has no conclusion about this teku. So when you have a teku of this sort, I think you'd have to go l'chumra, because we're dealing with the doraisa, and klitas mechitzos here would engender an iser pidyon. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, Maaser Sheni, Meimasai Chayov and Olav. When are you considered to have eaten it out of Yushalayim, which we said the Torah forbids you adlo sucha lechol b'sharecha? And the Gemara says, and this was a big surprise to me, mishara pnei achoma, that the Isur Lav, according to Rav Yochanan, of lo sucha lechol b'sharecha, is only chal after the peros enter into Yushalayim. So if you eat the fruits outside Yushalayim, although you forfeit the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is inside Yushalayim, you haven't violated the Avera. The Gemara is going to contest this, but in and of itself, Rabbi Yochanan is saying a pretty revolutionary chiddush. It sounds like what he's saying is that when you are mafresh maaser outside of Yushalayim, that's only the beginning stage of Kedusha. We'll call it a mitzvah Kedusha. And such a mitzvah Kedusha, you could be poder, but you're not chai for eating it until Knisa Yushalayim. Knisa Yushalayim is the second stage, which enhances the Kedusha of the Peros to such an extent that it's also to eat it outside of Yushalayim. But again, when you were mafresh the truma, the Maiser, if you were to eat it out of Yushalayim, you would not be in violation of the law. It's only when the Kedusha is clinched and it reaches its summit, which is when it enters into Yushalayim, now you're not allowed to eat it outside Yushalayim. This is very strange, because it means that this chefta, if you eat it in Yushalayim, you're makayim a mitzvah. If you take this chefta out of Yushalayim and you eat it, you violate a law and you get malchus. We were always thinking that there are two situations. You know, the malchus you would get because it never entered into Yushalayim, and the mitzvah you get because it entered into Yushalayim, and never the twain shall meet. No. When is there a lav of lo sucha lecha b'shrecha? Only after knisa liyushalayim, when the mitzvah is chal, the kedusha is complete, and then and only then engenders an isra achila chutz yushalayim. The same chefza now in its present state in Yushalayim precipitates a mitzvah achila, as long as you're in Yushalayim, and it precipitates an isra achila and a lav if you take it out of Yushalayim. My time, where does Rabbi Yochanan derive this strange conclusion from? Tiyomar Kra, the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlena. And then right afterwards it says, Lo Sucha Lechol Bisharecha. In other words, the Torah begins with the mitzvah Sachila, and then the Torah adds the Yisra Achila out of Yushalayim Bisharecha. Really, logically, the sequence should have been the reverse. First, tell me, Lo sucha lecha b'sharecha. Tell me, bring it to Yushalayim and eat it with Hashem Elokecha. No, L'fnei Hashem Elokei Tochlenu. Now that the Kedusha of the Ma'aseh Sheni reaches its apex, because you entered into Yerushalayim, now, if you take it out of Yerushalayim to eat it, you are, in a sense, I guess, being, desecrating the Kedushas Peros of Ma'aseh Sheni, and you violate the Iser of Achila Chutz Yerushalayim. So here's the drasha of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol hecha de karinin bay lifnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu. Now that we call it, the mitzvah of eating it kicks in because it's in Yerushalayim. Is then karinin bay lo sukha lecha b'sharech. You're not allowed to eat it outside Yerushalayim. Kol hecha de lo karinin bay lifnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu. The mitzvah is not engendered because you haven't yet brought it into Yerushalayim. Is lo karinin bay lo sukha lecha b'sharech. And the Gemara is not happy about this. Now, the Gemara is going to now go through a very complicated proof from a Braisa. The subject of this Braisa is not really the issue of Lo Sucha Lecho B'Sharech. It's going to come in really through the back door. And we're going to have to really work this through. What I find a little bit strange is that, and I don't know, you have to go through Shas and see what the methodology is. Can you ask a question of Rabbi Yochanan from a Braisa? And I think that's the difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But in Bavli, Rabbi Yochanan is considered the first generation of Amoraim. And if there's a stira to Rabbi Yochanan from a Braisa, that's a problem. Okay. What is the subject of this Braisa? So what we can talk about is Teva. Now, Tevel applies in many different situations. First of all, there's Tevel the Truma. That means after I cut down my grains, I have to be Mafrish Truma. Until I do so, it's called Tevel. And then there's Tevel Lemeiser. Tevel Lemeiser itself can be subdivided into two categories, Meiserisha, Meisersheni. And then we have to discuss what's the status of, we touched on this once, Tevel Lemeiser Ani. Now, in addition to that, after a mafrish meiser for the Levi, that meiser itself needs truma. That's called truma's meiser, and that's an additional halacha of teva. So, what happens? The Gemara, the Braisa of Rabbi Yossi wants to know: can a person remove all the surei teva on one piece of fruit and fulfill all his hafrashos simultaneously on one fruit? Kohen, and now we're going to see here a contrast between a Kohen and a Zar. Kohen shall also be Yoda. Te'ena shall Tevel. And he wants to be mafresh all the trumas and mice in such a way that he's allowed to eat this Te'ena. The Omar, and Omar, he declares the following: Te'ena zu trumasa be ukta. Ukta, you know, if you remember the esrog, there's the pitam on the one end and the oketz on the other end. The oketz is the part that's attached to the tree. So on the bottom of this te'ena, of this fig, that's where he designates truma, a small amount of his te'ena. Maiserisha mitzvona, he sets on the north side, probably towards the top of the te'ena, maiser. And my Sasheni Lidroma, but not as far down as the Yukta. So now he's been mafresh both Truma and two Maisros. Vihishnas Maisersheni. Okay, so there's no problem with Maiseroni. Okay. Now, Vihu, where is the Kohen? Birushalayim. If he's in Yerushalayim, then he's allowed to eat the Maisersheni. Now, what happens in the third and fifth years, the third and sixth years, excuse me, when instead of Maiser Sheni, he's Mafresh Maiser Ani? Oh, Maiser Ani? And now, he doesn't say Maiser Sheni Ludroma, but rather he should declare Maiser Ani Ludroma. Vehu Bigvulin. In this case, that it's not Maiser Sheni, but rather Maiser Ani, it doesn't matter whether he's in Yerushalayim or out of Yerushalayim. because Maiseroni can be eaten anywhere. So has he covered all his bases? And the Gemara says, to our surprise, that if he eats this Te'ena, he has violated one law. He, although he's taken off all he needs to for Truma Meiser, but nevertheless, Achla, and here we go on to Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, Loka Achas, because he hasn't been Mafrish Trumas Meiser. So it's still Tevel for Trumas Meiser. So now, he ate the entire Te'ena. So he's eating Truma. No problem. He's a Kohen. Truma is Muteris LeKohen. What about Maiser Sheni? Well, he's in Yerushalayim, so he's allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. What about Maiser Rishon? Okay, Maiser Rishon belongs to the Levi, or for example, in the case of Maiser Ani, that belongs to the Ani, but nevertheless, there is a violation of Gezel. He's really stealing from the Levi, he's stealing from the Ani, but nevertheless, there's no Isra Achila, which generates Malkus. So again, we're not talking about a tzaddik here, but as far as Chiyuve Malkus is concerned, we can reduce it to one. Why? Because he's a Kohen. Zar. If he's not a Kohen, she'ochli ate the same Te'ena. Lokesh Stein. Now he'll get two Malkus. Why? First he gets Malkus for Trumas Maser. Right? Nobody took off Trumas Maser, so that's an Issa Tevo. And secondly, Truma itself is Asura Lizar. So he gets Malkus for a Zar Sha'ochal Truma. So with, you know, if we leave out the fact that, just 1 second. Right. So if we, if in addition to the fact that he has violated the Issa Tevel of Trumas Maser, which was the same in the case of the Kohen, additionally, he violates the Issa Truma Lizarim, and therefore gets a second set of Malkus. Then the Brisa says the following: She'ilu b'tchila achola. What would have been the situation had he eaten this Te'ena mitchila, meaning without any afrasha? Paradoxically, that would have reduced the amount of Malkus he would get in a lokel achas. In other words, we sew together, we collapse together all the Isurim of Tevel into one single Isur Tevel. It's only when he begins to be Mafrish, he creates Truma, that engenders one Isur Malkus, one Chiyuv Malkus because of Zar. He was Mafrish, he was not Mafrish Trumas Maser. I'm sorry, he was Mafrish Maser, but he didn't take Truma from the Maser. So that's another Issa Tevel. So he's got the Issa Truma and Issa Tevel. He violates two Malkus. But if he wasn't Mafrish at all, so he doesn't violate the Issa Achilas Truma, but he is violating the Issa Tevel, even though you'll ask me, but wait a minute, it's Tevel for Truma, it's Tevel for Maser, it's Tevel for Truma's Maser. It doesn't matter, we can collapse all the Isurim of Tevel into one unified Isur. And if that be the case, then by virtue of the fact that he was Mafrish here, he added to the number of Malkus, and instead of one Malkus, he gets two Malkus. Ad kan, Lashon HaBraisa, that's the Braisa Rabbi Yosef. So Gemara says the following. Taima de'isa b'Yushalayim. The reason why the Kohen only gets one set of Malkus, which was, if you remember, Tevel Trumas Maser, is because he was in Yerushalayim, and Maiser in Yerushalayim is Mutar B'Achila. Ha Bigvulin. What would be the story if it was outside of Yerushalayim? Lokesh Shalosh, meaning the Kohen gets two sets of Malkus, and the Yisrael now gets three sets of Malkus. But wait a second. Was this Te'ena ever taken in to Yerushalayim? The Gemara assumes not. The Afal Gav, the Lav Roa Espnei Choma, these fruits have not yet been brought into Yerushalayim. Meaning, the Braisa doesn't specify. It just says he was standing in Yerushalayim, implying that if he was outside Yerushalayim, you'd get another set of Malkus, even though the fruits never entered into Yerushalayim. This is against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, no. The Aili V'afke. What happened was, the Teina is outside Yerushalayim, but it originally entered into Yerushalayim. The Aili went in, and Afke went out. And here, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you get Malkus. And the Gemara is not embarrassed to push this into the Braisa. It's a bit of a stretch, but we can do it. Ihachi, Frank, the Gemara, Maila Meimra, the Gemara says that now you've robbed this, you've stripped this Braisa of any sort of chiddush. We know that a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to eat Tevel. And therefore he doesn't get Malkus for eating Truma, he gets Malkus for eating Tevel of Truma's Maser. We know that a Zar is not allowed to eat Truma, and if he gets Malkus feeding Truma. And we know that Maaser Sheni, Chutz L'Choma, is Asur. And you get Malkus for that. So there's no Chiddush whatsoever in this price. And the only way of interpreting the Chiddush and adding some new insight that we derive from this price is if the price is telling us that even though the Te'ena never entered into Yerushalayim, nevertheless he incurs Malkus for eating it, feeding the Maaser Sheni outside the Chom of Yerushalayim. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. The Gemara answers, no. Hocha Mayaskin, and I'll tell you why there's a Chiddush. Kigon De'ailinu B'tiv Layhu. True, it went into Yerushalayim. But it went into Yerushalayim, this Te'ena, when it was Tevel. In other words, what entered into Yerushalayim wasn't Maaser Sheni yet, because he hadn't yet implemented the Afrasha. And therefore you would say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that in such a case, it's as if the Maaser Sheni remained Chutz Yerushalayim, and again, the physical molecules have entered into Yerushalayim, but not B'toras Maaser. He wasn't Mafresh Maaser. It was Tevel of Maaser, but not Maaser. So why then is he Chayav Malkus for eating it outside Yerushalayim? Kasavar, because the Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi is the Matanis Shelo Hurmu Kimisha Hurmu Damyan. That, if I can add a little bit of my own, the status of Tevel is a mixture of both Truma and Chulin, or in this case Maaser and Chulin. The Maaser is inherent, das licht, we say in Yiddish, das licht in the Chefta, meaning even though he hasn't been Marfish yet, but since it's Tevel, what Tevel is, it's got the Truma or the Maaser mixed in. There's a rush at the beginning of Peah who says that the reason why you could be mafrish by looking in one side and not in the other, and Rashi says it in Kiddushin, this is the beginning of the second parak, no saying Eino mitzad zeh, v'yocha mitzad zeh, and the whole thing happens in Machshava. So the Rush explains, because what is Tevel? Tevel is Truma and Chulin mixed together. Here we're saying it's Maaser and Chulin mixed together.
If that's correct, there's a Machlokes more than once, we had it in Shabbos, I think, that it's supposed to be Mafresh on Shabbos, the Chavis, it says the Trumas on the north, and this, and then the Gemara discusses, but that's only according to Mandam Sheesh Breira. So if you go according to Mandam and says Ein Breira, then does that fit into the same Svara, or is it a different concept?
Well, what I'm saying, I'm not saying that. Let's say, for example, you have Tevel L'Truma. I'm not saying that Tevel L'Truma has the same status as Truma. In other words, if the Tzar eats it, he's chayav feeding Tevel. I don't know if he gets the same punishment as if he ate Truma. And many other dinim that would apply. What I am saying is that as far as the halach of Knisa L'Yerushalayim is concerned, where Rabbi Yochanan says that the Isra Achil Chutz Yerushalayim has to be subsequent to, it's clinched by the Knesset Yerushalayim, What I'm saying is that the Maaser has within it Truma. It's not Truma itself. I mean, all the sugyas of Brera are addressing the question whether it became Truma or not. You know, he says if this happens, if that happens, you know. So if you hold name Brera, it's not a Chal Shem Truma. Here we're saying Kimi Shahurmu, what's the language more? Kimi Shahurmu Damyon. It doesn't mean that it's Truma. We don't have a Cheft of Truma here. But what we're saying is that under the surface of the Tevel is Truma, is Maaser. And then Achimino got a Knisa Yerushalayim.
I'm afraid to mix different metaphors here, but we had a few weeks ago the concept of Eimid Labila, Eimid Merkheves. Is this also apply here? That, you know, the fact that you haven't trained Truma, but eventually you're going to have Truma taken, therefore we should imagine Truma's there already.
Right. Or
the Maaser Sheni is there.
Yeah, right? You have, for example, Omeid Liktar, Kikotzer Dami. You know, you have a lot of these halachas called the Omeid.
We had it here a couple of weeks ago.
That I don't remember, but we certainly had Roy Labila. That we had Roy Labila.
Roy Labila.
Yeah, that we certainly had just recently, not long ago.
In some ways, I thought it was more comparable to Chameitz. It can only be Matzah who was able to become Chameitz. So, like the relationship of a commandment. Of an ase and a los ase together, saying like eat it in Yerushalayim, don't eat it at Yerushalayim. There's only an issur to eat it outside when there's a mitzvah to eat it inside. So it's like
right, but what we require is re'ias pnei Yerushalayim, correct? And you're right, Jonathan, that once you have re'ias pnei Yerushalayim, you have the mitzvah chila. The question is, the Gemara could have asked, what happens if you take Maaser Sheni and you wrap it up? Literally, you wrap it up in a coat, in a blanket, I don't know what. Is that called Riyas Pnei Abayis? Same thing would apply in Maisers, right? If Maiser out of the Bayis is not yet Nikbal Maiser, you need Riyas Pnei Abayis. What happens if it's in the kernel? You know, you haven't yet taken off the chaff, right? Odom Machnes, Myrim Odom Machnes says to us, Motzala, Motz is the chaff. What constitutes Riyas Pnei Abayis? So the Gemara is saying here, Rabbi Yossi is from reference to Gemara Gechidish, that if Matonos Shlohumru Kimisha Humru Dami, it's already got Riyas Pnei Abayis. And again, on a molecular plane, that is absolutely correct because the Maaser Sheni did enter into Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, no. I'm going to prove to you, Fakert, that Rabbi Yossi holds Matonos Shlohumru Lav Kimisha Humru Dami. V'savar Rabbi Yossi Matanis Shlohumru Kimisha Humru Dami? Is that really true? V'atani, I'll prove to you the exact opposite. Okay. V'atani, we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Lo Nechleku Beishamai Ubeis Hillel Alperos Shlo Nigmo Malachton V'avru B'Yushalayim. In other words, in the case of Peros before Gemar Malacha for Masros, let's say before the winnowing, and they went into Yerushalayim and they were taken out. And let's assume that we're talking about that Maaser requires Gemar Malachton, which means Meruach. Okay, there's also called Kri, you know, when you put it in a pile. And they went into Yerushalayim and they were removed from Yerushalayim. And then he was Mafris Trumas Umvaisris, including Maaser Sheni. Is everybody agrees, both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, we'll soon see in the case they don't agree, Sheyifte Maaser Sheni Shalahem V'Ochel B'chol Mokom. That we don't say Matonos Shalohurmu Kimisha Hurmu Damu, and therefore everybody agrees that since at this point there was no Afrasha and it entered into Yerushalayim, it's not considered Re'ias Pnei Choma, and therefore it could be eaten anywhere, even outside of Yerushalayim. Why? Because this is not considered Re'ias Pnei Choma. Alman Nechleku, where is the Machlok? Shimbe Silbe Shabbai, Alperos, shenigmar amalachton. It was already after Meruach. The avru b'Yushalayim, they were brought into Yushalayim, and then they were removed from Yushalayim. Beit Shammai Omer Yachzer Maaseh Sheni Shalahem v'Ochel b'Yushalayim. You have to take it back into Yushalayim, because once there was already Gmar Malacha, then we could say it's already considered like Maaseh. Ubeis Hill Omrim Yipode V'Ochel b'Chol Makom. You can still be Podet. It's not as if it had entered into Yushalayim. Why? Because even though there was Gmar Malacha, but nevertheless there was no Hafrasha. The East Alkadat, if you're going to tell me that Matanah Shelo Hurmu Kimisha Hurmu Damyan, is then Haklatu Mechitzos. In other words, it's clear that Rabbi Yossi has to accept the Sheet of Beis Hillel, because in a Machlok Shin Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, we always pass it like Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi's telling us that when does Beis Hillel argue? Even in the case where there was Gemar Malach, he still claims that you're allowed to eat it outside Yerushalayim, meaning you're allowed to be poded and eat it outside Yerushalayim. But wait a second, you just finished telling me that the Chiddush of the Brice of Rabbi Yossi, the first Brice of Rabbi Yossi, was that Matana Shalohum or Kibisha Hurmu Domitz, if it had already Rias Pnei Choma. Here Rabbi Yossi is saying that according to Rabbi Silel, Maaseh Sheni, even though it was in Yerushalayim, nevertheless, Matana Shalohum, there was no Afrasha, and therefore the Peros still remain in the state of Tevel in Yerushalayim, and you're allowed to be poed to them outside of Yerushalayim, when they go out of Yerushalayim. So we see that Matana Shelo Hurmu Lav Kamisha Hurmu Damu. Amar Rava Mechitza Lechol Da'oraisa Mechitza Liklot Dirabbanan Vechigaz Rabbanan Ki Isa Beyene Betivle. But I'm sorry, Kisa Biene, but Betivle Lo Gozer Rabbanon. Rabbanon says the following. The Rabba says the following. And this is a big chiddush. He says that this halacha, that once it enters into Yerushalayim, outside Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat it, that halacha is doraisa. However, the halacha that once it enters into Yerushalayim and it exits from Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to be poda it, that's only Dirabbanan. Because the Rabbanan were afraid that if we allow you to be poda it, you might eat it outside Yerushalayim. But that's only a Gzeirah Dirabbanan. So let's read it inside. Rabbi says, Mechitza Lechol. Once it enters into Yerushalayim, there's a din of Klitas Mechitos, which engenders an Isra Achilu B'Gvulin outside Yerushalayim. Da'oraisa. That's where we say, Matana Shelo Hurmu, Kemisha Hurmu Dami. That's the subject of the first Brice of Rabbi Yossi, where we're machmir to say that once the fruits of Maaseh Sheni, meaning it was Tevel of Maaseh Sheni, entered into Yerushalayim, it engenders an Isra Achila outside Yerushalayim, because now we're dealing with an Isur Da'oraisa, and we have to be machmir to consider Matana Shelo Hurmu Kemisha Hurmu Dami. It's as if the Peros entered into Yerushalayim in the state post Harama, which means after you were mafreshit as Maaseh Sheni. However, Mechitza Liklod, Liklod means as far as the din of Pidia, that once the Mechitza is collate in Yerushalayim, you cannot be poded outside Yerushalayim. That's only Dirabbanan. V'Rabbanan, V'chi Gaz Rabbanan. When do they make such a gzera to say that if it entered into Yerushalayim and it left Yerushalayim, there's no possibility of Pidjon? Ki Isa Biene. Only if it entered into Yerushalayim in its form as Maaseh Sheni. But B'Tivle, if it entered in not as Maaseh Sheni, because it was Tevel of Maaseh Sheni. And you want to apply now the principle of Matana Shelo Hurmu Kemisha Hurmu Dami Lo Gozer Rabbanan. That far the Rabbanan didn't go. That's already Gzeira L'Gzeira, because the real din of Klitas Chomos, the Klita of Mechitzos, that's only after you were mafrish, and it's no longer tevel, but it's real maisu sheni. And the real dindoraisa is that once it was niklat in the mechitzas Yerushalayim, you can't eat it out of Yerushalayim. That's a dindoraisa. There will be machmir, and will extend the iser even to the case of tevel. But in the case of the iser pedia out of Yerushalayim, which is the subject of the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, let's go back to the second Brisa and now reread it. When the Brisa says Beis Hillel Omrim Yifter, he is arguing with Beit Shammai over the issue of Pedia. Beit Shammai says, no, you've got to take it back into Yerushalayim and eat it there. You cannot be pulled. You don't have the ability to take advantage of Pedia outside Yerushalayim. Beis Hillel says, no, you can be pulled outside Yerushalayim. The entire machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai about Pedia outside Yerushalayim is all derabbanan. The real true doraisa of Chlitas Mechitzos engenders an Isra Achila, but not an Isra Pidyon, which Rabosai sort of undermines a lot of what we've been saying. We've been saying that when the Peros enter into Yerushalayim, and now the Kedusha of the Peros is complete, it clinches the Kedusha, Horayah, you have a Mitzvah Achila, now that engenders the impossibility of being Podet. You can't be Podet once the Kedusha is complete. That's not so. The truth is that you can be Podet anywhere outside Yerushalayim, period. Even though you had a mitzvah achila in Yerushalayim that was chal, the kedusha reached its apex, nevertheless you can be poded outside Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat it outside Yerushalayim. The Rabbanan said you're not allowed to be poded because you lest you come to achila. But we're not going to go so far to extend that gzera to a case of tevel. Ravina Amar, Ravina says that the brisa is not talking about a case where the first vice of Yossi is not talking about a case where the fruits entered into Yerushalayim, but rather Kigon did not get lay Bekanya. This is the very case that, who was it, Rav Papa, if I remember correctly, had a suffix about, namely if a man enters into Yerushalayim but he's holding on to Peros at the bottom, the end of a pole that's outside of Yerushalayim, the Kana. And the Chiddush of Rav Yossi is to tell us that he's chayav as if it already entered into Yerushalayim. He has to eat it in Yerushalayim, even though the fruits never entered into Yerushalayim. Utifshod bayad Rav Papa, and this would be a resolution of the suffix of Rav Papa, namely that even though he's not carrying the fruits or it's not attached to his body in any way like a beged, nevertheless the kanya is also considered connected to him. And therefore, it's as if the fruits entered into Yerushalayim, and you have a chiyuv to eat it in Yerushalayim. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Yossi to be poshet the baya of Rabbi Paul. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, I think we'll stop here. Okay. All right, we're making some progress.